said, "You're gonna get to leave real soon." And so he looked for his opportunity to escape. He had traveled pretty far, and he found a ship captain that, you know, he thought they had taken him back to the British. He went back over there, and basically he said, "You know, I'm gonna become a cleric, I'm gonna become a whatever." And so he did. He went over to Europe and studied, and I don't remember all the Catholic name tablets and stuff like that, but they made him into a missionary. He said, "I don't want to be a missionary, you know." But where was he going to go? And so he got a vision, he recounts it, to go over to Ireland. They needed him in Ireland. Come back over there. Last place he wanted to go on earth was Ireland. Right? And that way it goes up. Often the very place you don't want to go, your flesh doesn't want to go, that's where the Spirit's trying to lead you. You know? And so I know that was true in my life. I didn't want to come to Birmingham, you know, in my flesh. The Spirit wanted me to come to Birmingham. So it took a year, but he finally won the day.
Praise God. Praise God.
So anyway, he went over to Ireland. Of course, he won a lot of people to Christianity. He influenced many of them to become more pious and do right. And of course, you know, they remember it very fondly every year. So it just shows you that sometimes you don't know where your life is going. You know, your life may be like Joseph. He was a slave for a while. He was captured. Mm-hmm. You know, made a slave for a while. But the Lord turned that around.
Yeah.
Amen.
And he became one of the most respected people in Ireland. Mm-hmm. Not the most respected person in Ireland. So, mm-hmm. Anyway, just something we can remember.
St. Patrick.
You know.
Was he a Catholic or just...
Well, yeah, but everybody was Catholic at that time. Yeah. You got to remember, yeah. There were no Protestants.
That's right, that was before the...
He was in the 400s, yeah, he lived in the
400s. Well, thank you for all that good history. Everybody
was a Catholic. Mm-hmm. You know, there was no Protestants at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, God even has his people among the Catholics.
Yeah.
Put it that way, you know, so... Mm-hmm. But yeah, he was a Catholic, and so... in fact, he was in Northern Ireland. Mm-hmm. That's where he mainly did his preaching and teaching and stuff like that. So, he was a good guy.
Yeah.
He wasn't perfect, but none of us are, right?
No.
But that doesn't matter. We can still serve the Lord.
That's right.
Right?
And do a
Peter
perfect
wasn't
work.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Neither was John and James or anyone else.
Mm-hmm. Neither.
But they were powerful in the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they still did a perfect work.
Right? We can be powerful in the Lord. Try it out.
All right. Here
we go.
How are you doing today? All right, great.
Good.
I'm going to try to do this without the mic, so here we go. It's the cause of Christ, the reason why we love him and our duties for him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So we're going to try this and see how this works. Hallelujah. To build his church, to love his bride, and make his name known far and wide.
Jesus.
For this cause, I live, and for this cause I die, I surrender all for the I will leave behind is all my soul will prize. Regardless of the joy or trial, when agonizing questions rise, in Jesus all my hope abides. For this cause I live, and for this cause I die, I surrender all. For the cause of Christ, all I once held dear, and I will leave behind. For my joy is this, for the cause of Christ.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Lord, we worship you.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, my Jesus, for your glory and for your name. Jesus, my Jesus, I will only sing your praise.
Jesus,
my Jesus, for your glory, for your name. Jesus, my Jesus, I will only sing your praise. For this cause I live, and for this cause I die, I surrender all. For the cause of Christ, all I once held dear, I will leave behind. For my joy is this,
yes,
for the cause of Christ. For my joy is this,
yes,
for the cause of Christ.
Jesus, hallelujah.
Praise and honor, glory. Lord, we come to you with one accord that we worship you. And we thank you for the opportunity,
yes,
of learning your word through your prophets, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And I thank you, God, that this is done in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Back to 2 Peter. First, I wanted to share something. Some of you said, Brother Thurston, just kind of, you know, it's like, why would these people, these priests and everybody, be so against Jesus? They seem to know who he was, right? What's going on here, you know? So I wanted to read this, because this is what parable came to me. Mm-hmm. And it's the parable from Matthew 21, starting at verse 33. It's called the parable of the tenants. I'll be reading the ESV. In Matthew 21, verse 33, it starts. And it's also in other gospels. It's in the parable account. One of the other gospels. But it says here, hear another parable. Okay, now Jesus knew what was going on. He spoke it before it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to tell them what's going on. He says, hear another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard, mm-hmm, and put a fence around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and leased it to tenants.
Yeah.
And went into another country. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit.
Yeah.
And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. They didn't want to give up the fruit, did they? Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did the same thing to them. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance." What was his inheritance going to be? That vineyard, right? Yeah, they wanted that vineyard.
Yeah.
And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When, therefore, the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? Well, he's talking to the priests and the elders, right? So they said to him, the priests and the elders said to him, he will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons. Yeah, they knew what was happening. Yeah, that was not right. Their sense of justice grew up in them. Yeah. Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parable, they perceived that he was speaking about them. They knew what he was saying. He never had to explain a parable. they always got in the parables. He had to go explain them to his disciples. The Pharisees always got them.
Yeah.
The priests, they understood the parables. You're talking about me. You're talking about me in this parable. So what was their response? They cut to the heart? They repented, right?
No,
they didn't do that. Read the next verse. It said, And although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds because they held him to be What was their response? "We're going to take this guy out of the action. We're going to do exactly what he said in the parable that the tenants did. We're going to do exactly that. He prophesied it right here. He told them, this is the way you are. This is the way your thinking is. This is the way your heart is. This is it right here.
Yeah.
And you just, what? When they responded, what would this master do to these tenants? What did they respond with?
Kill them miserably.
Yeah. And give the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons. They said right there what was going to happen to them.
They had the ability
to
reason.
Doing that. Yeah.
They could reason. They knew.
Yeah.
They wasn't dumb. They knew what they were doing.
You know, the priest prophesied that it's expedient for one to perish for the nation and the whole people perish. Yep. Didn't find what kind of death they would have. So it was them, it was their place in Rome and also their positions. And so that's what it was. And what you said too, this is great, this parable fits it right there.
So they thought they would have control if they could kill the son. Get him out of the way, they would have control. Sound like Satan talking, don't it? Like you were saying earlier. Didn't that sound like Satan talking? I mean, it's exactly what you were saying. And it's like, wow. It's just kind of it's exactly what Jesus said was happening. And look at there. Their hearts are that way, even though they were warned. By their own words they were warned. And yet they continue to do it. It's a little hard for us to believe, isn't it? But I mean, it happened. Just that, why have to be so wicked and understand what's going to happen to them, and yet still go ahead and do it.
Jesus.
The King James says that last verse, there, next last, therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof.
Yeah, that's right.
This is what I see that.
Yes.
Israel was, the fruits were taken away from Israel and given to the United States, because over 90-something percent of the gospel comes from the
Exactly nation. Right.
You know, when
so
people...
We do bring forth fruit, even though sometimes we don't think we do. We do.
Yeah. When people live in the realm of wickedness, it's like Daniel said, the wicked will do wicked, and they won't understand. And they can't, they, even though they have knowledge, they can't put it all together. Because Jesus said that, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they do. Mm-hmm. But they had knowledge not to do that, but they did it anyway.
Well,
and that was their choice.
That was
because when they can see and understand, he will heal them.
Mm-hmm.
It's their choice not to receive Jesus there. It was their choice. They looked their position as man more than they did their position as eternal beings.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I remember being a sinner. I thought totally different than I do now. I wanted to know God, but I couldn't. There was no faith. With faith amps everything up.
But God knew your heart.
Yeah.
He made sure you knew him and you could make that choice.
Yeah.
Because everybody, the light comes to everybody in this world when they're born.
Mm-hmm.
The choice is theirs.
And
if you're in the darkest jungle with nothing
but
nature, God will reveal himself. And if you choose to take God instead of idols, he will show you.
Yeah.
And you're born again.
Yeah.
Because men are without excuse.
Yeah. Without a sense.
And he puts in every one of us a desire to know him.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah, that's really good. I'm glad you said that, because that word was on my mind. You talk about the light. Even in darkness, the light will shine.
Yeah.
And that's what he was just saying. He said, I wanted to know God.
Yes.
But the knowledge wasn't there.
Yes.
He didn't have the faith. He didn't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what light is.
Mm-hmm.
It's the knowledge of God.
Yeah.
Right? The wisdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's the instructions of God.
Yes.
It's the precepts of God. All of these things. It's all of that and more.
Yeah.
It's the wisdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know? And so when we get that light shining, we get that wisdom, we get that knowledge.
And
these people.
More and more.
These people saw that light.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The light was with them, walking with them, talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, but they also understood what he said.
Yes.
They understood the wisdom of God. They said, this is what's going to happen to those tenants.
Mm-hmm.
But they rejected the light.
Yeah.
The light shone on them, but they rejected it. They said, we prefer darkness. We're going to just put the light out.
Yeah.
We're going to put the light out, and so it's not going to shine.
Because
we could do our works in darkness.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So anyway, I told you we'd get back to First Peter. And listen, we're gonna skip around a little bit. 1 Peter 2:21. I'm gonna touch on this because it kind of goes along with what we were saying here. 1 Peter 2:21, reading the English Standard Version. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. You might follow in his steps. We're all supposed to do what? We're supposed to mature, right? Fivefold ministry is supposed to equip us, right? Until we all attain the fullness of the stature of Christ. So we're supposed to just keep following Christ till we become like him. The full stature, right, of Christ. Doing what he did, saying what he said, believing what he believed, teaching what he taught. So he says, he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
He was truth.
Amen.
There was no deceit there.
Amen.
In verse 23, he says, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return.
Mm-hmm.
When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly.
Thank you, Jesus.
Isn't that great?
Amen.
It says, when he was reviled,
thank you, Lord.
someone did him evil. His response was not to return evil for evil.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, when someone comes against me, boy, I'm going to show you. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way we, that's our first response. You know, that's our flesh speaking, right?
Yeah.
But Jesus said, don't live by your flesh. Live by the Spirit. He was reviled. He did not revile when he suffered. Right? All their attacks. It says, he did not threaten. Boy, he threatened. Look out. But he didn't. It says, but he continued trusting himself to him who judges, who judges justly. Where is that talking? Yeah. That's God, right? Mm-hmm. That's God. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. I'm going to just trust God. He's going to repay these folks for what they're doing to me.
King James says righteously. That means God's way of doing it and being right.
Right, exactly.
So he responded right.
Exactly.
And there's a sense of this, if you look in the natural, it don't look like he didn't threaten, he didn't revile.
Right.
But that was righteous judgment. It was God's way of doing it. So you have to have that balance there.
Right.
If you live by the Spirit, you're going to do it right. If you live by the flesh, you're going to do it wrong. That's easy. Say it.
Exactly right, Mary. And then look at the next verse. It says, because it's talking about him suffering. All right? He's talking about him being reviled. Well, this kind of triggers something in Peter's mind. And he talks about it in the next verse. Read it. Can you read that next verse where you got it there?
24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed.
You quoted that earlier today. Right? I thought it'd be appropriate for you to read it.
Yeah.
So he said, because he didn't return evil for evil, right?
Mm-hmm.
What happened? He suffered.
Uh-huh.
But his sufferings weren't worthless, were they?
Mm-hmm.
What did he accomplish by his sufferings?
Salvation for mankind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You raised us up.
Our healing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Our healing, it says, that we might die to sin, live to righteousness, as David said. But not only that, by his stripes, we've been healed.
That's right. And it's all legal.
It's all legal. Amen.
You know, don't forget, this is important, sometimes overlooked, we preachers take this verse, that we being dead to sins, living to righteousness.
Yes.
We are dead to sin. That's right.
That's right.
Once we were dead in sin.
Right.
But now we're dead
to sin.
To sin, just like you said.
We're dead to sin, and we should live unto righteousness.
Amen.
Amen.
So let us live unto righteousness.
That's
right?
Good.
Mm.
And it's all the righteousness of God. Amen?
Yes.
Yeah.
All the power, right? All the victory. All the overcoming.
Yes.
And then we can overcome.
Mm-hmm.
We can overcome, right?
Yeah, that's right.
We are overcomers. We're not victims.
Yeah.
We're victors.
That's right.
Amen.
We don't have a victim mentality. We have a victor mentality.
Victor mentality.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
I love 1 Peter. This is the relationship book because it takes the same framework that Jesus did for us. We're going to do that same thing for others.
Woo, glory. Yes. Do you know what you just said?
Repeat it again.
Yeah, the same framework that Jesus did for us. We lay down our life and we do the same thing for others. We lead them. We show them him, you know, by
so we live unto righteousness.
We're living unto righteousness.
Because that's Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's
good.
Righteousness
of
righteousness.
That's good.
Yeah. When I asked him to teach me how to love his people, these are the concepts he gave me. And when people revile me, I used to feel threatened, and I would fight back.
Mm.
But then I saw what the Lord was saying. I said, I saw the whole thing as a new opportunity to reveal Christ.
Wow!
And it's like,
amen.
I've been made rich.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What they do can't hurt me, so
amen.
I'll just let that go, and then I'll bless them anyway.
There you go.
You have a victory.
Yeah.
Man. That just gave me another weapon, the weapon of my warfare. Let's say you're watching a TV show and something comes on that's adultery. looks good, it's in, but you need to say, I am dead to sin. Take that thing off. Mm-hmm. If you say that all the time, I am dead to sin.
Yeah.
That thing off.
I'm dead to sin. That's a, you know, not, and realize not to watch anything like it again if you can avoid it.
I was over at my sister's house, and something came up, they were blocked. And they just sit there and just say, oh my God. They knew I was in there, and they said, oh, that's just so bad, Sister Mary. I said, you got to thing, you can turn it right off. You don't even have to get up. Just click it. And she said, oh yeah, we can click that. You know.
Amen. I tell you what, I'm looking at the time a little. We'll pray over our food so we can eat, and y'all can, we can continue talking about this, but it is still good. Father, thank you so much for loving us and being with us in all things. We just pray that you'll be with us today, Father. Just continue showing us your ways, your righteousness, Father.
Amen.
Bless this food to nourish our bodies, and bless our time of fellowship, Father. We thank you for the communion of saints. Amen.
Thank you, brother.